Welcome to Gentleman Radio.
God damn it! It's the Gentleman Radio, Jeff. Holy fucking shit.
The Gentleman Radio.
You did it on purpose.
He did. He just told me.
All right. So welcome back to the Gentleman Radio. I'm Patrick.
Jeff.
I'm Charles.
Okay, today we have a special guest. We have Todd.
Hi.
Okay, so I would give you a nice introduction, but, you know, there's no AC on here. We're low on time, so let's get this thing moving. So,
well, let's give Todd a little bit of an introduction. I mean, our three fans would probably like to know Todd, including those
Todd,
three
Todd's
fans.
One of our three fans.
Yeah, I do really feel famous right now. Yeah. Going, hey, do you want to be on our podcast? Yes, I want to be on the podcast.
We don't just let anybody be on the podcast, by
That's
the way.
That's true.
We will totally let anybody be on the podcast. Yeah.
Like, we won't let producer Dan be on the podcast. He can just
if you bring beer to the podcast, you can come on the podcast.
That's totally not true, Charlie. We're very exclusive as to who can be on the podcast.
You can totally come on the podcast. Just bring beer. Message me for details.
I'll remember that next time.
Especially if you're a lady. Anyway, keep going. So,
it's called the gentleman, the lady.
The lady gentleman.
Jeff
lady
here.
Boy.
So, yes.
Let's just go to Thailand. Okay, so we're going to talk, mostly this will be an E3-centric show, because Patrick just got back from there, and we're going to pretty much just let him talk and ask him stuff.
All right.
More or less, so. Do you want to just give us a quick overview for anybody that maybe doesn't know what E3 is?
E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo. It happens every June in LA.
Oh, that sounds... I thought we were talking about a different expo.
Are all your questions now invalid?
Yeah, hold on, let me...
It wasn't the AVN Award?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, those are in Vegas. Oh. See, that's why we need to go to the summer of the CES show, because it's. I think that happens at the same time.
At the same time as the porn convention.
See, I'm fucking up here. We've got by going to E3 all the time. I need to be going to CES... And
accidentally the wrong expo.
So anyway, it's pretty much one of the largest, video game conferences in the world. It's a industry only, so you have to be media,
you have to be legit.
Like retail, or you have to be in, in a studio, basically. So.
Is it still industry only? I thought they did that for 1 year and then decided it was the worst idea ever.
No, it's all industry only. So,
still, no wonder it's gone downhill.
Yeah, so it's basically you have to. Actually, it's funny because since the first year that I did it, because this is my third year going. The first year we had to show up with have articles of incorporation and payroll shit to send them for the website I work for. Which is the website, hopefully you're listening to this podcast on, thebuzzmedia.com. Yay. So anyway, then last year was a little relaxed. It was like I had to send in two articles from the past 6 months that you've written about video games and send your business card and all that kind of crap. And then this year it was two articles that you've written in the past 3 months about video games. So it seems like they're tightening it just a little bit. But essentially they're just wanting to make sure you don't just make a fake website for 10 minutes to try and get in.
Basically what we're doing now.
I guess people used to do that shit for
Todd, come on.
Comic-Con all the time.
Hey,
so.
I like the website. I'm sorry. That's why I'm here right now.
So, yeah. Anyway. So, that's what it is, basically. It's just the
Wait,
industry.
You guys have a website?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Well, we might have a website eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know how that... What's going on with that, Charlie?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Let's throw our topic aside. We'll just talk shop about the website.
We'll tell you guys about website drama. It's very interesting.
All right.
It's kind of like General Hospital, but with websites and servers and...
And no sex of any kind.
Yeah.
Well, at least that I know.
Not a single sex was had that day. do you want to... I mean... excuse me. It sounded like Kermit the Frog. Any kind of games that stuck out to you? Do you have any kind of top five list for us?
As it turns out, I do have a top five.
Fantastic.
That was totally spontaneous. There's nothing written on a piece of paper in front of me.
Right.
Off the top of the dome.
So, and honestly, there were a bunch of games that I saw. I've got a bunch of previews I'm going to be writing. Like there's like 20 or 25.
So more coverage on thebuzzmedia.com.
Exactly. So there's there's a lot of stuff. It's hard to pick five out. Like, looking at my list of five that I don't have written down, it could... Like, there's a lot of interchangeable stuff in here. There's other things that could come in. Number five is Tomb Raider. I got to watch... I didn't get my hands on it But it was a
you behind... didn't get your hands.
No, no, sadly, it was behind closed doors though. So only select members of the media were able to go see it, and it was basically watching the developers play it. And
that sucks.
It looks
that's like
that's a lot of what E3 tends to be. I mean, there's a lot of hands-on stuff too, but for a game like this, sometimes it's super
kind of
exclusive. You have to, and you have to be legit to get into those sorts of games. You have to be invited, which I was, so that's nice.
Nice, thanks.
And I'm not going to toot my own horn exactly, but yeah, pretty badass.
Did you see a lot of stuff that they didn't show, say through media coverage, or?
It depends on what it is. It, in some cases,
like, did
yes.
you like? I saw like through the media coverage. I watched Lara Croft shoot a bow and arrow at a deer.
Yeah.
Like, did you see
so
more that, than
that? So, yeah, that part's in there, you know, but there was basically this whole thing that he was playing through where it's, like, after some sort of a plane crash or a boat crash or something like that, yeah. And she's got to reconnect with her
It's kind of like Lord of the Flies, but with tits instead of wieners.
Exactly. One of the things that was interesting about what's going on here is this is Lara before she becomes, like, a badass and stuff like that,
yeah.
So when she kills the deer and has the skin to eat it and stuff like that, she gets all emotional and then...
Does she wear that head as a hat at all or anything?
Not at all. But it does show her have to kill her first person in a struggle. But, like, she gets into this this kind of struggle with a gun and, you know, then she gets very sad about it afterwards, you know, that sort of thing. So
she basically has a vagina.
Right, because she's a girl. So, anyway, so Tomb Raider looked pretty awesome.
So how old are we talking, like, teenager or, like, 12?
I think she was 4. No, she's
toddler.
I think she's probably like, you know, just young adult. She's probably in her early 20s, I would imagine. I didn't
so
count the rings
still
on her.
Skimpy
anything,
clothing then.
Well, sort of. I mean, she's
it's a tank top and jeans situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She's just wearing a tank top and jeans. Nothing major.
Tight jeans.
They're pretty tight.
Okay.
But like I said, she's in her early 20s. You're not.
She's actually wearing. She's wearing a
she
hoodie
older
and cargo
than
pants.
Jeff,
the jungle.
Jeff, you taking her out to dinner? Or something?
I know, right? Seriously.
Well,
hey, Jeff,
what's she going
to
be wearing?
Jeff later when Jeff is alone, he's got to have something to think about, Charlie. All right.
Meanwhile, at Jeff's house.
You're really fucking things up for him right now. Okay, so the next one.
Raid my tomb. Yeah.
So the next one is Borderlands. Borderlands 2. I'm not sure why I have. I don't know
2D,
what the
Borderlands
number
2D.
Number
D.
In your head?
Yeah, I don't know.
Borderlands 2 Electric Boogaloo?
So, I wasn't really sold on Borderlands, because the first one I thought was alright, but I wasn't planning on, like, pre-ordering it or really getting into it that much, but... What are you doing, Jeff?
Nice catch.
Holy Christ.
Couch.
So, anyway...
Jeff almost spilled a beer.
No, it's empty.
So, I didn't really care that much about Borderlands, but I kind of did the hands-on because Charlie wanted me to.
yes.
He's a big fan.
You're a Borderlands fan,
yes,
I guess.
Big
then.
Time.
Yeah.
I'm like super sold on it now. It was really fun.
But for you probably didn't get the online component. I had a group.
I did actually. I was playing co-op with a guy next to me. They had 10 stations set up. And
I mean, for the original co-op game.
Oh no, that I didn't.
Because that changed a lot of it. Because otherwise, you're just running around being like, I just took an hour to run and shoot this thing and get a gun. That's cool. But instead, you could be drinking and be like, dude, did you see when I shot that thing and I fell off and I jumped it? Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
And they set us up with, you know, like skill points so we could see the customization and stuff like that. So I was able
And you got to...
to
keep your loot too, didn't you?
See, I saw you posted that, but they didn't give me that shit.
What?
They gave me a t-shirt
Fuck
and that button
let's call,
I gave
let's
you.
Call them out on that.
So
wait, you were supposed to get like a code to where you could
like
keep the loot that
you
got
at
E3.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
I thought that was really
too bad
impressive.
You didn't get it.
That
would have
been nice. That would have been nice to have. So
you remember the best gun in the game you got? Yeah,
I guess I didn't run E3 the way I thought I did, but whatever. So yeah, no, the targeting was really great. The variety of weapons, oddly enough, were awesome. I wish I could keep all those because they were pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I just had fun playing co-op and that sort of thing. And the monsters that were coming at me were interesting because they had different target points you had to hit, but they weren't like super difficult, but they weren't super easy either. So it was a nice challenge. Yeah. So yeah, that's going to be pre-ordered pretty quickly.
How do you feel the cell shading that they do? Because at the time, everybody's like, "Wait, what? You're doing cell shading?" Did
this
you
looks
think
a lot
up?
Better, actually. I mean, I thought the fidelity graphically was way better than the first one. It's still that same style, but it looks a lot nicer.
Yeah, because I'd heard it.
I'm a fan of cell shading.
Well, I thought it was great.
I think
but
it
the
looks
same time,
cool.
They were doing something different, and they're like, "Well, let's just try this." And I remember playing it, like seeing the promos for it, and I was like, "Eh." I started playing it, and I'm like, "Actually, this turns out really fucking well. I like this. This is fun."
Yeah,
and
it's more, got a good... Like, Borderlands 1 had a really good visual style.
It's like
and I think
Mad
that's
Max,
what
Halo, like the
made
best parts of
good.
Halo and the best parts of RPGing, and you just shoot shit.
Yeah. The stuff that the level I was playing seemed to get away from the sort of wasteland sort of feel from the first game a little bit. Yeah. I don't know what the context is of it. I don't know where it appears in the game or whatever, but it was more like a radioactive swamp sort of thing. So, I mean, it's obviously still after some sort of fallout, but
yeah.
But there was that like fallout. more foliage and stuff like that in the environment, and more of a sort of a, you know, more plants. Excellent. Stuff like that.
It's a Bontemp. Right. It's the true blood.
Exactly. Exactly. If
it's gonna be vampires.
If it was, yeah. If that was irradiated,
right in the swamp.
Gotta like host it up. Yeah. Because I love their DLC, like Island of Dr. Ned. Yeah. That stuff was great. One thing I meant to ask you to find out about was if they do split screen online co-op.
They do actually. Yeah. That's
because that was such a big complaint.
Yeah. Know? They specifically mentioned that there's like a promo video that they had playing the whole time, and it specifically said there was split screen.
Because I have a couple of my friends, like either married or boyfriend or girlfriend, that will jump on and we'll play, and the big problem with that was they both can get on. And
yeah.
They're like, yeah, we play offline all the time, and
it's always very difficult. Like, it's disappointing for me to tell my cats, "I'm sorry, Daisy, you can't." Yeah. Can't play right now.
Meow, 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 meow.
Yeah, she's never very happy.
She has more, she's got more Microsoft points than I do, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then she goes.
Her game score is way higher than
she
mine.
Goes and poops on something afterward. It's never good.
It's over.
To tell your cat, no. So that's Borderlands 2. Next one is on my list, at number 3, and this might be shocking, that is at number 3, is Assassin's Creed 3.
You did that on purpose. On porpoise.
Well, no, because the top two are, like, amazing to me, so.
Yeah.
And again, this is sort of a personal list. I mean, my kind of personal favoritism comes into play here. But Assassin's Creed 3 looks fucking phenomenal. It's super, just super gorgeous. They showed us, like, a frontier level, and then they showed us a, Boston ships. Level as well. They showed like a little thing about the ship. There's like ship combat.
Do you throw any tea in the river?
No, there was no tea being thrown in the river.
You know what? I never actually thought about that until you just said it. But that really should be a level.
That should be. I wanted to be like,
as far as,
that's a mini game waiting to happen. How much tea do you throw in the river?
And it's like
you're already an Indian, so you blend right in.
The cities are Boston and New York.
You're like, you want to throw some fucking tea in the harbor? Come over here. We need somebody to throw some tea in the harbor.
It's probably pretty likely that's going to happen. I would say
it better happen. I will throw the fuck out of that tea in the harbor
because
if it's at least not DLC.
After.
It's over.
Yeah.
It takes place before, during, and after the American Revolution. So, but you know, what's weird is that there seems to be some sort of a kind of a trend going on right now in games where, a bow and arrow, because tons of games have bow and arrow. Yeah.
Like, thanks,
you know, fucking
games.
Crysis 3 has the bow and arrow.
Look, I'm Katniss!
Exactly, you know, like this has the bow and arrow is really important.
Skyrim does that pretty well.
And hunting game is a big deal here, too. Like, you can kill, you know, deer and shit and get, like, the food and take it back. What was cool about this is when they took down a deer, all of a sudden some wolves showed up because they were hungry, and then you had to fight off some wolves. Ooh, and one of the coolest things about this is, like, the way that he traverses the terrain, like, he's still climbing all over everything and up in the trees and doing all this kind of stuff. But it was really fluid, and it was really really well implemented. It didn't look like there was a lot of stuttering going on. But the terrain itself is an impediment. So if he's running through snow, he's going to be running slower in the snow. He's going to be like stumbling over rocks and shit like that. So
did you get any gameplay on that?
No.
Damn. Because I really wanted to ask about like gameplay stacking up to what we've seen.
There was a lot. Honestly, there wasn't a huge amount of gameplay for a huge amount of games. Like there was some stuff I got hands on with, but a lot of it wasn't so much like that.
I saw an interview with the game designers, and they also said that as far as the snow goes, for you, you're stumbling in the snow, but it also works to your advantage.
Right, because the other, exactly.
Everybody, like the colonial army, is going to stumble over it, too.
Another thing about it, too, is that, you know, you can use any tool in combat now. So the combat looks like it's basically the same sort of counter system that they had in the, Assassin's Creed 2, where basically you're waiting for attacks, and you kind of counter and counterattack. But in this, you can use tools that you pick up, and there's this one that's he's got like this chain dart that'll he can, you know, if he wants to do an assassination when he's up in a tree, he can like wrap it around a dude's neck and hang him in
the
tree.
They showed that, yeah.
Yeah, or you can
you
can basically be like Scorpion and like grab a guy and pull him over to you and like
get over here
exactly, and then take him out with a wrist blade. You know, there's a lot of, and the tomahawk looks pretty badass. It just looks super tight, and there's also a new system for when he's hiding, you've got like this kind of cone of detection around you, basically, where if anybody, it's not.
I think
it's not
he gets
goofy.
Smart.
Yeah,
and
no, it's
cone
not goofy
of
like
silence
that.
Activate.
It's not goofy like that. It's just you can see the radius around you know, which like people are gonna see you and hear you.
Kind
of
like Splinter Cell a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
That. That's a good thing to implement.
My main question about Assassin's Creed 3 is: was it the biggest talked about game there? Because from an outsider opinion.
Not
and
really.
I'll say right now, the only thing I know about E3, other than you who were there, was from my G4 coverage.
Yeah, it wasn't really,
and
honestly.
There was a lot of Assassin's 3 coverage.
I mean, I didn't really talk to many people about it. Like, nobody seemed to be really giving
but,
that
I mean,
much of a shit. Honestly.
Was it, well, okay, let me rephrase that. Was it the biggest multi-platform game there?
Probably not.
Really?
Probably not. There was... a lot of people made a big deal about Dead Space 3. That was a big deal. There was a lot of stuff about, you know, Hitman. There was a lot of stuff about Resident Evil. There was a lot of stuff about... I mean, there were a lot of games there, so...
Because, Assassin's Creed 3 would be the biggest...
You've sort of inadvertently kind of segued into my next thing, is that the...
Sorry.
The one game...
On a segue?
The one game that...
I was trying to get you out of Assassin's Creed 3. So.
The one I kept hearing about and I didn't have any idea about was Star Wars 1313.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Was there anything with Desmond for Assassin's Creed 3?
They didn't show anything about Desmond, so there's nothing. I was
you
really
are
lying.
Telling me apart, Ubisoft!
Yeah, I didn't see anything about that.
That's the dude who is the... thinking about all the shit, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, I've only played... Yeah. I've played about 15 minutes of Assassin's Creed 1.
He's the dude that's in the beginning that kind of...
Assassin's Creed 2
I just
awesome.
Bought it, because I was like, you know what? Assassin's Creed 3 looks badass.
Yeah,
I'm going to play
two
Assassin's
worth
Creed
it.
1.
I didn't like the first one at all, so...
Yeah, the first one kind of is very boring repetition.
So should I skip straight to 2?
Yes.
And play...
Thanks for wasting my $50. All right.
Well, story-wise, yes.
$50
if you paid $50 for Assassin's Creed, you've got bigger problems than the fact that you just paid...
They give
okay,
it to
I
you
would say,
hey,
you
know what?
Play through it.
I call $20...
For getting Assassin's Creed 2. Or, for Revelations, anyway, sorry.
They didn't really dig
I just got ripped
You know,
off.
I think we need to actually just have an Assassin's Creed episode someday.
Yeah, that's probably true.
All of this.
So moving on, though.
I want to hear about Star Wars 1313.
I kept hearing about that. Like, a friend of mine told me
I didn't know what the fuck it was
out.
Until you mentioned it.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was either. A friend of mine said, see what we can find out about 1313. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I was walking by the G4 stage one day, and I saw they had it on the screen. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I didn't think I was going to hear about it because it wasn't on the show floor, and it never occurred to me that on my schedule I had an appointment with LucasArts for the last appointment for the show, and it never occurred to me until I got there, oh yeah, they're going to talk about fucking 1313. And what it is it's a mature-rated Star Wars game for the number one, so it's going to be kind of hardcore. It's 1313 is a level of Coruscant that's down in the planet's core, and essentially it's like this... big sort of city of nothing but scum and villainy down there. Like it's
so it's
like
the anus of Corsica.
Essentially, yeah. And so you play a bounty hunter character that they haven't revealed. Like the video they showed us had a placeholder character or whatever. But you're a bounty hunter that has to go down there and find some shit. There's no Jedi's down there. There's no Force down there. It's all about you using
it's
gadgets.
Pew
and,
pew.
Yeah, that's gadgets and laser guns and shit.
Fan of the pew pew.
And. It's supposed to be super dark and super mature with the violence and all that kind of stuff. But what it looks like is it looks like it's basically Uncharted in Star Wars because it's got like a lot of dynamic climbing and jumping and platforming stuff. And they're not going to do any kind of like real-time events. Everything happens with you just playing the character. So if you fall out of something and you're trying to like dangling from shit, you're going to be playing that game and I could be pressing X at the right time to have them... you know, do a series. Their kind of mission statement is never put anything in a cutscene that the player would want to play. So it's all going to be just an engine. And they it's a kind of a cross production with LucasArts, with Lucasfilm. So they have ILM in this. They have Skywalker Sound. Yeah. All these people doing like movie level stuff, working on it. The performance capture they do like allows for body language and you know like body language cues.
Not L.A. Noir body.
No,
language.
Not like that. It's going to be more like just.
You're lying. I was telling the truth the entire time.
Yeah, there's no gameplay like that. It's just when you're watching them perform, it's like it looks like an actual performance, and they don't have pre-rendered performances either. It's all in engine, so the actors were able to ad lib and they were able to do you know different takes on things and stuff like that. So what they showed us looked phenomenal. It was running on a PC. I don't know if it's going
to
be on
consoles. That's exactly what I was going to ask because again I'm going back to my G4 commentary. Everybody was like, oh, Star Wars 1313, that's obviously a take on next gen for consoles. And I'm like, the designers in your interview said it was running on a PC.
Yeah.
It looked PC, right?
Yeah.
Because the PCs are going to be better than consoles.
They said nothing about consoles.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, for it to run at the fidelity and the way that it was, the smoothness it was running, for what we saw, it had to be next gen if it was going to be on a console. I can't imagine the PS3 or the Xbox handling it right now, but they didn't say anything about that. They just said it's super early in development. It's running on PC. But it's running on PC stuff you can just get now. It's not like a super...
My second question, did they say, does it take place in, like, Old Republic?
They didn't say...
Does it take place in... Well, I guess it can't take place in...
Yeah, no, they didn't say...
Because Coruscant doesn't exist.
Yeah, they didn't say when it in the timeline, but judging from the Imperial shuttlecraft that they that was flying around,
yeah,
it looks like it's current, like the original trilogy, basically.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm assuming, but I don't know. They didn't say one way or the other. They didn't say anything about the story aside from your bounty hunter going around fucking shit up. So that's Star Wars 1313. My number one, the one that I was super excited about was Resident Evil 6. And they let us do a half an hour of hands-on playtime with it. I gotta
single
say...
Single multiplayer.
Single. And I'm a huge fan of Resident Evil, of the franchise. It's probably one of my favorites next to Street Fighter. And it's really great. Like, I played as Leon, and then I played as Chris. And Chris's game is a lot more action-oriented, where you're fighting a bunch of dudes that are more like the Las Plagas, where you like shoot them, and like I blew a guy's arm off with my machine gun, and it like sprouted like he's fucking Tetsuo from Akira into like this big monster thing
Tetsuo!
That came after him. Exactly, yeah. And so apparently Calorie's brains were inside him, so that was crazy. But Leon's stuff is more old school, like original Resident Evil zombie outbreak stuff, and his was a little bit... It was way creepier and had more of the atmosphere. I didn't play as Jake at all just because I didn't have the time, but it's interesting because now you can strafe, you can move and fire at the same time, which worked really well for Leon because he's walking slower, but when I was Chris, there were a couple of times when I was shooting in the sky because he just kind of like lost control of the targeting because I wasn't really sure what in the hell I was doing, but...
You were Christopher Walken?
No.
There are zombies all around me.
Everywhere.
What am I going to do?
Resident Evil. Forget it. No. Dogs. Come on.
Look at his tail. So, yeah.
Bit of a break from 4 and 5 then. Like,
yeah. It's
tone or gameplay? Or?
Well, it's a little bit of a blend of the different games because...
Because I heard the Strife thing they added because
people
was so pissed off about
bitch,
it. They're like, I just... All I want to do is be able to move and shoot at the same time.
So, like, Leon's part feels a lot more like Resident Evil 4 versus Chris's part feels like it's Resident Evil 5, but with added action. Like, there's... And the thing about his guys is that the dudes that are turning into the Las Plagas have, you know, firearms and stuff like that, so they're shooting back at you and that sort of thing. It was pretty intense, the part that I played with him. And then, apparently, Jake is actually Wesker's son, so he's got some sort of cool badassery, but I don't know really much about him.
He's Jake Wesker.
I know that his...
Attorney at law.
When he first...
American hero.
His gameplay portion was, like... Because they said anybody playing Jake has to immediately, like, press forward and the run button because he's being chased by a big monster. So if you don't do that, like, he'll get killed right away,
like
so...
Wesker and Bash.
Yeah, so he's like... So he's running and jumping through buildings and shit like that. But yeah, I'm super excited. There was a goofy thing to be excited about, but there was a portion of Chris's opening scene where a dude's eating a steak, and it looks so fucking good. It looked like the sort of thing you could just take off your plate and eat, and it made me want steak.
It was a Resident Evil game, so I thought you were going to say a dude's eating a steak, but it turns out to be a guy's leg.
Yeah.
And it's just a scene from Hostel 2.
Yeah, no, but also it looks like Chris doesn't have his memory at all, by the way. Like, he doesn't remember anything.
Oh, you don't remember Jill?
I don't believe so. Don't believe so. No, I don't know how you forget that, but...
No, nobody does.
Apparently not. So that's my top five. Let's move on with questions and...
I have some questions.
I got a lot of questions.
Yeah,
about E3, dude.
Was Felicia Day there this year?
I'm not allowed to say her name, but no. No, she wasn't. However, my girlfriend did get a picture with Will Wheaton. So
Will Wheaton?
I saw
Will
that Wheaton. Picture. Yeah, he posted that online. Yeah.
How about the Skyrim DLC? Anything cool about that?
They didn't say anything about the Skyrim DLC at all. I got to sit in on a presentation, a half-hour presentation on Elder Scrolls Online, but it, they didn't say anything about, what is it, Daggerfall or Dawnguard?
Dawnguard. Your next show, I will try to... I got a friend who's in the beta. I'll see if I can't get him to give me some info. For Dawnguard, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I'll get some. I'll try to get some info from him, see if I can pass it on.
Evidently, producer Dan and a disembodied entity sitting next to me is telling me that I should recap my top five before we move on. So
I think so.
That's a good point.
Excellent point.
Tomb Raider, Borderlands 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Star Wars 1313, and Resident Evil 6. That's my top five. So... anyway, so do you want me to talk about Elder Scrolls Online, or were you just interested in Dawnguard?
If you want to talk about it, I'm not going to stop you.
It looks pretty cool. I mean, it's basically kind of like
Elder Scrolls Online.
It's basically like, yeah, exactly. You know, it's a third person situation, but you're still doing attacks and stuff like that in real time. So it's not like you know, with World of Warcraft or something like that, where you're having cooldown phases and shit like that. You can just press the button and it'll happen. It looks really good. I'm going to have a big preview on it on thebuzzmedia.com. So,
what was that website again?
Thebuzzmedia.com.
Roger that.
Presumably, if you're listening to this, you should already know the website because
should probably comment on that site.
Exactly, you should comment on that site. If you'd like to hear the Gentleman Radio, which I know everybody does.
All two of you that aren't.
And this goes for you, Todd, because
you're one of our
audience. So make sure to comment your love of
or
the
if
show.
You want to comment about how great special guests are.
Right?
They're like, wow, that special guest was amazing.
Yeah, and we might just bring every listener on as a special guest.
That could be. That might happen.
Yeah. Like, that's the reward.
Listen to the show and we'll have
you. You're going to be on the show.
Yeah.
It's a secret prize.
But comment on and when I say comment, I mean good comments. Don't talk about how much I sound like an asshole.
Yeah, you can't comment if you don't like it.
I mean,
dude, I heard you could win a free iPhone 3.
No negative comments, please.
If you're gonna comment, please don't talk about how much of a dick that Jeff is, or you know, how much Charlie sucks. Don't say
those
things.
Or how sweet my beard is.
Say things about how sweet Charlie's beard is or how awesome
is. You should just say anything, even if you hate it.
Yeah, just say whatever because we just come.
Are you recording this?
Oh, like, we totally are.
From video wise, so you can see your fantastic beard?
No, it's okay. I think they can bask in it just through the sound of my voice and just drink it in there.
They're listening to it, and bristles are just rubbing over their face.
Yeah, they're like,
that's not a lot of people know this, but Charlie actually hasn't said anything this entire show. It's his beard that's talking right now.
Oh, that's kind of.
It's like the alien symbiote in Spider-Man where it just kind of takes over and you know, leads his life. For him, so.
But I'm not going to do some salsa dancing emo bullshit. That's a showstopper.
All right, well,
moving on.
I'm going to leave.
Well, I thought you should have.
Yeah. Let's talk about Injustice a little bit, because that was another thing I was like,
oh my God,
holy
Injustice.
Fuck, I saw something, I'm like, I have a friend going to E3. What the fuck is this game? What's going on?
I didn't even know. Yeah, what is what the Injustice? Fuck Injustice was. It's like, it's crazy. What it is the people who made Mortal Kombat making a straight-up DC fighting game. That's fucking insane. And there's not going to be the same level of violence that Mortal Kombat has. But there's blood spilling everywhere when they're getting punched in the face and shit. It's basically... And I don't know what the premise is, but apparently...
Can you finish him?
No, you can't finish him exactly.
You can give him a hand.
Then I don't care.
They have these special super moves that are
pretty... It's like DC versus Marvel, isn't it? The fatality was... what do they call it? Like
DC versus Mortal Kombat, you mean?
Yeah. What is it? Yeah,
it was just there.
Continuity.
Yeah. There's finishing moves, but you don't kill anybody. You're not gonna, you know. But that being said,
I'll
like
send him to Earth 2.
When you do when Superman does his super combo, Superman literally knocks somebody up in the air into orbit, and then he flies up into orbit, grabs him, and throws him back down to Earth.
And then he flies around a bunch of times.
No,
and does it again because time went backwards.
You know what happens though when Flash does his? Flash runs around the fucking Earth and hits you from behind. Like sucker punches.
Wait,
from
so he takes you.
Well, yeah,
because
Flash can do that because he's fast. He didn't turn back time by flying around the globe.
If he's taking you from behind.
So, but what's really cool about this is What's really cool about this is that the backgrounds and stuff like that are all very interactive, and so there's a scene where you're in the Batcave and Superman rips down this generator or whatever to hit Flash over the head with it, and then Flash punches him and knocks him up into the exposed wires and electrocutes him. So, like, once you change the environment like that, then it becomes a hazard. There was another thing where Batman was fighting Solomon Grundy, and there was a car sitting there.
Solomon Grundy.
And so Batman grabs Solomon Grundy's head and starts bashing his head into the hood of the car. And then Grundy picks up the car and hits Batman over the head with the car. So they interact with
kill Batman.
And he's okay.
Yeah, like, right off the bat. Shit, my secret weapon. You hit me over the head with a car.
It's ridiculous some of the things that these people are surviving. Like, Batman should have been dead four times over, because Grundy hits him at one point, knocks him through four buildings into another level altogether. Yeah.
But so, everything turned out.
Yeah, but...
But it's crazy. But like
Morgan Freeman made him some good armor.
Grundy's super move is actually like pulling a meat cleaver out of his back and hacking Batman in the face with it. And then he like hits him a few times. He basically does the little the thing that Incredible Hulk does in The Avengers, where he like, you know, bashes him back and forth.
Cutie
gun. Yeah, and then he pulls a gravestone out of his body and breaks it over Batman's head. That's his super move. So it's
that
just
sounds kind of retarded.
It's batshit crazy, like the stuff that goes on. It's just really nuts. But it looks like it'll be a lot of fun to play. So I'm excited about that one.
Can you also talk to us about the Wii U a bit?
I can. I
don't think it's
okay.
I went to the Nintendo press conference, which let me just say, I was excited to go to Nintendo because it's hard to get into. Their shit started at 9, so I had to be there at 7:15 to register. After having stayed up until 2:30 in the morning at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater watching awesome comedy. So, I wanted to shoot myself. Anyway, the Wii U looks marginally more exciting than I thought it would from the, you know, from what I saw last year. The size of the fucking Wii U controller looks like if you'd eat a TV dinner off of it. It's just fucking huge.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah, I was like, that's the special feature.
I can't imagine. And so... The system's going to be powerful enough that they have Mass Effect 3 coming out for it, so that's great.
Whoa, 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 because a year after everybody else has already played it, they've got it coming out.
All these Nintendo users are going to be like, the ending, what the fuck?
Right, yeah.
It's like, yeah, thanks.
So, hey, they get six extra colors.
They get nothing.
So then Batman Arkham City is going to be there. They're going to have a version of it. So, like, your inventory screen is now on the little Wii U screen.
But again, like, how good is that? Because you already have games that everybody's already played.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big problem. And I didn't see... There was one thing that was, like, Zombie U.
Zombie U is the only game on Wii U that I saw.
But here's the thing. Like, so you go up to a door, and you have to do an unlock mechanic to open the door, and you're doing it on the Wii U controller. Right. And on the main screen of your TV, you see zombies coming up behind you. I don't want to do that shit. Yeah. I want a pause screen. I don't want to have to fuck
with
the... It
sounds like you're dipping around on your tablet during the zombie apocalypse.
Exactly. And so with the Wii U controller, you can actually play games while somebody else is using the TV. Right. So you can still play your games even if, like, your girlfriend is watching TV or something like that. But I don't want to play games on that fucking tiny little screen either. Yeah. I mean, it's my student hardware.
Unless you could, like, play your game while you're at work somehow. You know what I mean? Like, pull it out.
I really don't think it has that kind of reception, though.
But see, that's what I want.
It's a new DS.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a DS and a Wii built into one.
So, yeah. So, you don't have a PSP. You could kind of do some interactivity with the games there. That's all this is.
Exactly. That's all the Wii U controller. Something like Skyrim. Like, I was talking with this person that we'll talk about next time. Just the basic farming shit that's bullshit. If I could do that on my iPad at work really quick, be like, okay, yes, great. That would be awesome.
Okay, speaking of iPad, my question to you is, because the coverage I saw of E3, it seemed to me that Microsoft gave a big finger to the Wii U by saying, look, we're going to make the thing called Smart Glass, and everything that the Wii U is going to do on their little controller... we're going to incorporate into things that you already own, like your iPad.
Hmm. I don't know. I didn't... Honestly, I haven't
You didn't
seen,
see Smart Glass at all?
I didn't see Microsoft's press conference.
Because basically, Smart Glass, what Microsoft decided to do, was Microsoft was like, we're going to make a technology. And from... it's hard to say what it actually is, because when it's all said and done, it seems really good in theory. But it was kind of a lot of talk at E3, which it normally is. But from Microsoft, they did the same thing with Kinect, and Kinect worked really well. So I kind of give them a little bit of lenience. So Microsoft said, we have this thing called Smart Glass, and it's a technology to where we're now going to incorporate your games, your watching movies, everything you do on your Xbox 360... but you can now incorporate it into your tablets or smartphones.
As long as they're not trying to do it with Windows 8, because...
they're not doing it with Windows 8. That's the best part. Yeah. Because they said, well, they're doing it with Windows 8, but they also said, we've opened it up to everything.
Yeah.
Like, we're doing it on Windows 8, We're doing it on Android Market. We're doing it on OSI or iOS. And, like, so basically they looked at Nintendo and they said, okay, you made a controller that has a touchscreen in it. You made a controller tablet. We're going to tell everybody who already owns tablets now that you can have that with the shit you already own.
What would maybe get behind Wii U?
Sounds great.
Yeah. You know. If it works the way they say it
Buyer
does.
Buyer beware for Microsoft and like, on that.
But know. See, what would maybe...
But at the same time, like I said, with Kinect, they said all this cool shit with Kinect, and Kinect works really well.
Yeah, it's just they don't have the software for it.
Right, yeah, like developers aren't making it. That's not Microsoft's fault.
Yeah, that's really what the issue is going to be with the Wii U, too, because there are some cool applications you could conceivably do with it. It's just that nobody's going to actually do it, because from what I've already heard from developers, it's apparently really tough to work with. Like, they don't want to have to deal with that shit. You know, as far as next-gen consoles, it sounds like it's going to be kind of similar to what it was this last cycle, where Sony's really hard to work with, and so is Wii U, and then Microsoft is super easy. So again, I think we're going to probably end up with the same sort of thing now, where it's going to be, regardless of power, it's going to be ports with of Xbox 360 games and not so much innovation on the other systems.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's my biggest complaint with the Wii U is that it doesn't look like. I mean, I can't imagine what people are going to do with it. I don't know what. You know, developers are going to come up with. I don't see it being like this. Because I kind of think that they have an interesting idea. It's just the implementation is going to suck balls.
Sure. One more thing I want to talk to you about too is.
Before you move on, let me just say when and if you guys have watched the press conference, you'll have seen this. But when Miyamoto came out, he showed Pikmin 3. That's what they had for us. That's what. The fucking father of modern gaming had for us is Pikmin 3, so fuck it.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you get excited about
that? That goes to a question I have later. I'll let him finish. But okay. I have a couple more questions.
Yeah. I'm going to let you finish, bro. But, so I want to talk a little bit, because
Beyonce is the best.
Yeah. This is a little more personal for me. A friend of mine started up a gaming company, and you talked to him a little bit, Chris Patton, started Fabling, and what do you find out from him?
I found out a bunch of stuff that I'm not really allowed to talk about right now.
Should we call him on the phone?
Probably. Well, I don't know. It's up to you, honestly, if you want to put him on the spot
Let's give him a call.
All right. I know that the Buzz Media, which this site is on, is going to have a lot of coverage about Fabling and the games that they're making coming up when he provides me with the assets and all that kind of stuff. So.
Them assets?
This is your fault, by the way. If he gets upset, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Chris, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, it's me, Patrick, and Jeff. You're on, I guess, the air. You're on recorded stuff, so.
I'm on recorded.
Yeah, this is. We were talking a little bit, and Patrick is trying to be tight-lipped about what's going on for you guys. But is there anything you want to tell us about Fabling or what's going on for you guys? Anything cool? Right, yeah.
This is all Charlie's fault.
Spill all the beans.
Yeah. No, we've got so much stuff going on right now. I mean, as you guys probably noticed, we've got a lot of activity that's going up on Facebook and stuff as we're changing because we're starting to really roll with some of our PR firms now, our PR campaigns to try to get some more momentum around.
And what's your Facebook link?
Pardon?
What's your link on Facebook?
Facebook.com/Fabling Game Studios.
All right, excellent. We'll be sure to post that on the site. We just want to make sure everybody gets that. But go on, please.
Okay. No, exactly. No, and you've probably seen this, that we're starting to do the PR campaign now and really start to try to get some hype around it because we're getting closer to being able to release information about the games that are going to be coming out, and we want to get our fan base so that we have a larger audience to target once we go ahead and do start releasing titles and more information. So we've got Buster, as you've seen, who's heading our PR campaign. He's going to be working on a couple different campaigns. One is he's doing a game review.
Uh-huh. And what are Buster's credentials besides sniffing his ass?
Sniffing his ass, he does actually play games at night, so even though he's young, yeah, he does have a good gaming experience, which is why he's going to be heading up the Busters, who Facebook Reviews, which is where he's going to go ahead and review video games that are out there, and those that he doesn't like, you know, maybe Call of Duty, things like that, he might end up on. And see some of that stuff coming out. But the big thing is you're going to see Buster's actually going to start coming forward now with Buster's Game. We're going to start releasing here pretty shortly. All the big game studios, woman followers that are sexy and hot.
Right, you want to get the ladies involved with the show.
Ladies?
Already involved with the show. So
more involved.
We've got ladies in hot camis and hot shorts. And, yeah, we got good stuff coming out, but actually I can't say me because Buster's ahead of it all.
Right, because he's a dog.
Driving it all out, but yeah, you're going to see some hotties here coming out.
Cool. So what I would say, Chris, is we need to get you on the show at some point, not just via speakerphone, and just really pick your brain about gaming sometime. What do you think about that?
He's a better guest host than
no,
me.
No, that would be great. That would really be good.
All right, man. Cool. Is there anything else you want to say to anybody about the Gentleman Radio?
Right now, I mean, a lot of stuff is just sort of close to the best. It's going to be coming out here real soon, and we do need to get on the show so we can talk about what some of the changes are that we're going to try to drive in the gaming industry that have not been done and are not fully engaged yet. So we can talk quite a bit about it here coming up as we get a little bit closer to release. So.
Cool, man. Well, yeah, let's, I mean, obviously we talk outside of the show, so we'll figure out a good time when it's getting close for you, and we'll just get you on the show straight up, and let's run through a bunch of stuff.
Okay. Definitely sounds like a plan.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay. Take it easy, guys.
Bye. Anyway, let's, right. Let's wrap things up a little bit here because we're getting to the time.
All right, yeah, we're kind of run over time a little bit. So,
well, actually, Todd, did you? I mean, let's since he's our guest.
Well, no, it's fine. More E3 things. I can pick his brain later. I'll go with my main question. I don't know if you'll be able to answer it because you said from what I took, you didn't see everything. But who do you think won E3 this year? Because really. When it's all said and done, it's about who won E3. It's Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo. Who won E3?
Honestly, I think all three of them are sort of in a holding pattern right now. I mean, I think that Microsoft and Sony are both crazy for not showing new consoles. I don't know what in the hell they think they're doing. And the console that Nintendo showed is just sort of like, a lot of people were just sort of like, eh, okay, that's all right. But, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I think it's kind of a push this year because Microsoft, what they had... You know, Halo 4. I don't even know what Sony had. I mean, I guess they have another iteration of God of War. I mean,
Sony had really three, from what I saw. Sony had three impressed me titles that were strictly for Sony exclusives. There was Beyond Two Souls, which was from the developers that made Heavy Rain.
Okay. And, yeah, I didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, well, it's funny because it's from the guys who made Heavy Rain, and I joked about Last of Us, the girl in it being Ellen Page, and I was like, oh, it's the video game with Ellen Page. The guys who made Heavy Rain made a game, and they put Ellen Page.
I will tell you though,
in the game, like they literally made her part of the game.
I didn't know about this game at all, but I literally heard a conversation. It was exactly what you just said while I was standing in line for something else, and I didn't know what it was in context to. But I heard somebody said, I said that it looked like Ellen Page, and then it was Ellen Page in the new game. Like, yeah. Almost exactly what you just said and the way you said it.
Because,
it's creeping me out.
Somebody they interviewed on G4 at E3, they said they were like, I think Ellen Page won E3.
Yeah.
Because she was just everywhere. But they had the game from the developers of Heavy Rain, and that's going to be exclusive. Last of Us.
Oh, The Last of Us, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's exclusive. And I think that pretty much won E3 for exclusive buzz.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I think going into it, the best exclusive at E3 was Halo 4. Because everybody loves Halo 4. But out of it... Well, yeah. As the general gamer market. I mean, but coming out of it, I think Last of Us really won everybody over.
Yeah, if you want to talk about exclusives like that, then yeah, I would probably say Sony. Because,
what I would like to ask is I thought Halo 3 was finished the fight.
Well,
so
apparently Halo 4
comes out, then you really finish it.
Halo 4 is a whole different fight.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
It's a whole completely different fight.
And honestly, and this is going to be sacrilege. A lot of people are going to be pissed at me for saying this, assuming that anybody ever listens. Right. I'm hoping that now that a new studio has taken over Halo, that we might get a good Halo game. That's just my hope.
I gotta leave. I'm sorry. Never mind. No, I'm just kidding. I don't really care for Halo.
I like Bungie a lot, so...
All I know is in Halo 2, there was...
I mean, Bungie did a good job with previous stuff. I didn't really... Yeah. I wasn't a big Halo fan.
No, I mean, I agree. I thought it was... They really kind of tried to take a lot of the Marathon games and update it and redo that stuff, and they lost the cool, weird sci-fi world and tried to...
Like, I was really excited playing through Halo 2 until I was like, feed me, Master Chief! And I was like, what just happened? Yeah. Did a giant planet attack me?
Like, Halo Reach, I mean, famously, I gave Iron a bad Chef. Score on thebuzzmedia.com.
Yes,
and,
he's all about myself to me.
And apparently, like, that led people to feel like I... that I was a virgin, for one, and that I was gay for another...
So you're a gay virgin.
I was a gay virgin, evidently.
Do you want to fix that right now? Oh, wait, sorry.
But I know you
can iron that out.
Some bonus footage.
Exactly, yeah. That'll be... That's the gentleman after hours.
I see the way you're looking at me.
So anyway, yeah.
Mind if I play the banjo?
You're like, Todd's never invited on the show.
Except for next week, when he will be back on the show for next week's episode.
Just call me Alan Scott.
Speaking of next week's episode, we'll be back to more of a like regular show format with our recommendations. And
well, we're still doing recommendations, aren't we, right?
I guess we can. We're running way long, so...
We're still recommending stuff. All
right. I recommend that we end the show now. That's my recommendation for the
week. I recommend that Jeff actually contributes to the show.
Right? Have you said?
I don't know much about.
Have you
E3.
Said anything at all to this show?
Not really.
Yeah,
just he taught. He fantasized about Lara Croft quite a bit.
That is true. I forgot that you perked out.
That was only about like.
That was probably
now.
The best
that
segment
the
of that whole Lara Croft
part of the
bit.
Show.
Yeah. So what's your recommendation, Jeff?
I do not have one this week.
Well, good job. That's nice. I'm glad that you came prepared.
We recommend that you find something.
We recommend that next week when you show up, A, you say D in the beginning, and B, you fucking have a recommendation. God damn it!
I say it right every time.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Never. Never.
Welcome to the Gentleman Radio.
You said it right just then. Why can't you? Why can't you do it in the first? Why can't you do it in the first part of the show?
Anyway, so really quick, let's do our recommendation. So, Patrick.
Those five games that I said, I recommend.
It's the five games. Nailed it. Come on, something outside of game. Let's
outside of
either
gaming.
Do like really? A non video game or. Book,
okay, then
movie.
My recommendation is Lock and Key. It's a graphic novel series, or a comic series, rather.
Well done, very good.
Joe Hill is the writer. I can't think of the artist's name off the top of my head right now.
That's Stephen King's son.
Yes, it is. And his novels are great. I had never read his graphic novels. This week, I was on a mission to try and find Lock and Key number one. It was sold out at the Meltdown. It was sold out at all these different comic stores I went to, and I finally found one. And I've been reading it. It's phenomenal. So I recommend that.
Jeff, did you actually think of something?
Yeah, I do have a recommendation. Okay. Control System by Absol, new album. He's basically friends with Schoolboy Q, so if you like sort of independent hip-hop acts that are like big in the indie community as well as hip-hop, check it out. Nice, lots of lyricism, good beats, lots of good guest vocals.
Doug?
I will recommend...
It's Todd.
It's fine. It doesn't matter. I'll go by both. I will recommend. I go with my recommendation. Monster Camp. It's a documentary about LARPing, and you'll laugh through about 20 minutes of it because you'll be like, "Oh, this is about LARPing. This is funny. Look at those guys go!" Uh-huh. And then they throw the biggest twist of a LARPing documentary I've ever seen, which is saying something because I've seen a lot of LARPing documentaries. And you will feel bad about laughing.
Yeah. Is it?
It actually is the catfish stole it from Monster Camp. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now I'm trying to figure out how that is, but
yeah.
Is
really how does it, trust me, dude. I don't want to. No spoilers.
Have you ever
saying.
Have you ever seen Darkon before?
It's better than Darkon.
It is. All right.
Yeah. Well, it's more fun than Darkon.
Okay.
I think.
So all right. So Monster Camp.
Because it's a little less serious than Darkon.
Okay. Okay.
And your other recommendation?
Well, let's. Because we have a whole other week with Todd, so
that's true.
Let's hold on because we're running low on time. So go.
So really quick, this week I'm going to recommend Martian Dice from Tasty Minstrel Games. It's a local company in Tucson. It's just kind of a basic dice game. It's really fun. You might feel it's a guilty pleasure if you're in a bar playing it, but we like to play it. So whoever is in last place buys the next round of drinks.
Are those the guys that make zombie dice too?
They might make zombie dice. I don't know. This
because they did that on tabletop with the Geeks and Sundry the other day.
It might be. I don't know. I don't know a whole lot about these guys, but we were at a brewery one night for an event.
It seems like the same
kind of packaging. Dudes brought it out, and we were doing the rule, so whoever's last place was buying the next round, and it was fun. You know, you choose humans, cows, chickens. Anyway, check it out. It's $15. It's fun. It's a dice game, and you won't get stabbed for playing it unless you play with Jeff. So.
All right,
I like to win.
All right, so good game, guys. This is the Gentleman Radio. So we're signing off. See you next week. Actually, though, we do have our guest Todd back next week.
But we have also, Todd back, but we're adding a new member.
We also have a new member showing up, a new gentleman coming. I hope he's a gentleman. Anyway,
you like the gentleman? Huh?
I'll leave you with that spoiler. I'm not gonna say his name. I'm not gonna tell you. It's like Star Wars 1313, you're not going to do the bounty hunter until he shows up.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah,
thank you for coming. And that is the Gentleman Radio.
The choice of a new generation.
The fuck was that?
Is it Pepsi?
It's a thing. It's a thing. Every week, it's a fucking thing.
Have you heard
the show, Charlie?
No, I usually don't listen to it. Honestly. I can pretend like it doesn't
Crystal
happen.
Pepsi. Just like the Gentleman Radio.
It gives you timbers?
Yes.
Are we out then?
What?
Or is he sorry?